Lukashenko committed many crimes. Crimes against Belarusians, crimes of torture, dragging our country into the war, hijacking airplane, orchestrating immigration crisis, abduction of Ukrainian children. We asking international courts start special investigation of Lukashenko's regime. You have this power. We have all the proofs of these crimes. Why this investigation hasn't been started yet?
That's Belarusian opposition leader Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya at a European Parliament event focusing on the victims of dictator Alexander Lukashenko's regime. Not to forget them, as the world focuses on other crises. Among the victims, 1,500 political prisoners like Tsikhanouskaya's husband, Sergei, who led the opposition before her, and the Nobel Peace Laureate, Alice Bialyatsky.
People are deprived of normal food, fresh air, warm clothes, so they're always freezing. People are deprived of any medical care. You know that we have at least 200 people who are in awful health conditions, with cancer, with diabetes, with heart attacks, but they don't get any medical assistance at all. So people literally dying in Belarusian prisons.
In this EPP Group podcast, we also talk to members of the European Parliament who are active in supporting the Belarusian opposition to keep up the pressure on Lukashenko. And there was a theater group at the event highlighting Belarusians who had to flee twice, first to Ukraine and then to the European Union when Russia launched its full-scale invasion there. Today, the Lukashenko regime is, of course, destroying this freedom. At least 1,500 people are political prisoners in dramatic conditions, on the verge of exhaustion. That's the EPP Group's Andrzej Halicki of Poland, who works closely with Belarusian opposition groups. National elections next year are expected to be another sham vote, like the one that recently reaffirmed Russian dictator Vladimir Putin as president. The ones organized by Lukashenko are not elections. There is no free media. The situation is very difficult for all those who would like to represent society in a dignified, free, and democratic way, because Lukashenko sends everyone to labor camps, to prison, blackmails them with death, and deprives them of their jobs, closest relatives, and therefore family harassment. All this means that Lukashenko should stand in line with Putin before the International Tribunal, and this also requires European determination. Hence this exhibition about Belarusian Freedom Day in the European Parliament and the initiative that we are launching as the European People's Party. But in fact, we are organizing it beyond political divisions. European parliamentarians signed postcards for the prisoners, including Parliament President Roberta Metsola, a member of the EPP family.
Amid ongoing repression and worsening human rights abuses, this House will never turn a blind eye to Lukashenko's relentless crackdown on dissent and on people being arrested, tortured, and imprisoned on politically motivated charges. From here, let me reiterate that the European Parliament stands firmly with those pushing for freedom and democracy in Belarus. In order to demonstrate our support to the more than 1,500 political prisoners in Belarus,
the EPP Group's Andrus Kubilius of Lithuania, who lived under Soviet oppression, sees how Putin and Lukashenko are working from the same playbook.
Putin was learning from Lukashenko how to crack opposition. Now Lukashenko maybe will learn something from Putin. Putin is not only cracking on opposition and killing opposition leaders, but also he invented, you know, new form how to manipulate with so-called elections. And suddenly Russia became the most, you know, advanced country with electronic voting. When, you know, the whole system is, as I was informed by some Russian experts, the whole system of that electronic voting is managed by FSB. Both of them are showing each other an example. How to fight against Democrats, how to fight against human rights. Putin is choosing, you know, to kill opposition leaders. Lukashenko is choosing, you know, to put them into the prison and not to allow to communicate.
A communications blackout, even for family members, says Tsikhanouskaya of her husband and Alice Bialyatsky, who led the human rights group Vyazna, or Spring. The Parliament event displayed a pictorial history of decades of the group's campaigning.
No lawyer is allowed to visit him, no relatives, no letters, nothing. And one of such people is Alice Belyatsky and my husband. I haven't known anything about Sergei for 1 year. I don't know if he's alive. You know, my children haven't gotten any letters from him for 1 year.
Time out to explain Tsikhanouskaya's mention of Belarus hijacking a plane, using a MiG fighter jet to force a commercial flight to land in Minsk. It was to arrest another Belarusian opposition activist, Roman Protasevich. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison, then pardoned after taking a pro-government tone and allegedly collaborating with the regime, seen as part of Lukashenko's effort to divide and conquer the opposition. Another reason this event in the European Parliament was important. The event also included a play by the Belarus Free Theater, portraying the story of young Belarusian exiles who fled to Ukraine and then from Russia's invasion. Among the cast, 18-year-old Taisa Piatrova, who left more than 2 years ago and lives with her parents in Poland.
It was very, very challenging to come out on stage with this scene because it's like very personal. It's like all my insecurities, everything. And I decided to show people that it's not at all bad to feel bad about yourself or be offended by things that people are that are close to you are saying sometimes. This project, it helped me a lot with communication, with integration, and with my self-esteem, because after this project I felt a lot better about myself. I felt a lot more confident, and I'm still trying to fully embrace myself, but I think without this project, without Belarus Free Theater, it could be much more difficult than it is now.
Nikolai Khalezin is co-founder of the Belarus Free Theater and co-artistic director. He says the play is about...
Что они хотели сказать своим родителям в этот сложный период?
What they wanted to tell their parents in this difficult period, the period of war, emigration, pandemic. And after that, the parents decided to answer the children from the stage. As a result, they communicated through the viewer, and it was very emotional. The message we want to send to Europeans is for them to understand that when they talk about Belarus and Belarusians, they are talking about these people, these young people, their parents, Belarusian families. It was important for me because I understood that I am in this line. My children are here. My parents were here. And I must preserve this bridge. And this is a bridge that moves us along the path of democratic values, our family values, and the values of a united Europe. The EPP Group's Dase Melbarth can relate to those family stories, like families who lived under Soviet oppression in her native Latvia when she was a girl.
We can just imagine, because we know that our grandfathers and grandmothers have experienced similar situation during the Second World War when they were forced to leave their houses and go exile. I have been meeting a lot of Latvians who have grew up in outside their native countries. It's always very complicated. It is very important that the local communities, that they provide help.
So what kinds of help? Social support and protection.
The main issue we can do in the parliament is to make sure that these people who have forced to leave their houses and live for some time in Europe, that they feel totally safe. That, for instance, Russian security services don't have any opportunities to carry out any attacks or ordered murders targeted to these people fighting for their freedom.
Melbart helped organize a pilot program to support journalists who fled west.
For us, it is important to provide support to these independent journalists, newsrooms, media outlets, broadcasting services, so they can continue their work, because it's important that they belonging to Russia or Belarus in Latvia. We have a media hub, and there are experts that helping these journalists to produce their content. So I have met also journalists and media in Prague. There is another very big hub.
For Belarusian prisoners who have left or are still in prison, the Warsaw-based Belarusian House offers support. Ales Zarembiuk is director.
Every week we met in Warsaw people who left Belarus after 2 or 3 years in Lukashenko's barbaric jail, women political prisoners, tortured every day in Lukashenko's brutal prison. We sent in the last 2023 year for women behind bars 100 and more parcels, and we helped directly for political prisoners' families. We gave and give financial help. We have this support from Polish and Czech ministries of foreign affairs.
So what should the EU do to further pressure the Lukashenko regime beyond the economic sanctions already imposed? Here's Andrus Kubilius.
I would concentrate first of all on the victory of Ukraine, on simply military victory of Ukraine, which demands much bigger support from our side, from the Western side. Victory can bring really very big changes, political changes, both in Russia and in Belarus, and I hope that those changes can be positive. Sanctions are not making big, you know, impact. They are needed. They are needed to cut down incomes of the state of Russia and Belarus, which they are using to finance their military operations. But sanctions will not change Putin or Lukashenko behavior. That is what we need to understand. And in order to change the situation, full-scale change can come only after Ukraine victory.
To be much more brave to support them directly, I mean opposition, to provide them more support. But of course, the most important is to help Ukraine to win.
That's Rasa Juknevičienė of Lithuania.
Because this is most important, fundamentally important for Belarus as well, for Russia itself, by the way, to change the regimes there. Without that, it would be, this fight will be very different. And because in some capitals in European continent and in Washington, D.C., sometimes leaders are afraid to defeat Putin's regime.
In the meantime, keep up the pressure on the regime in Minsk, says Tsikhanouskaya.
We need political and economical isolation of the regime for them to feel pain because of every broken faith, every killed person, for every torture, you know, they committed. On the other hand, we need support to civil society. It's very difficult to continue fight when you are lack of assistance, lack of support, and lack of solidarity. You feel that you are alone, that you are abandoned, that you are not in focus.
It's very important not to allow to forget Belarusians. They are fighting for their country,
says Rasa Juknevičienė.
Because today, unfortunately, but I have to say that Belarus, despite that it is on the map of Europe, but de facto it is like annexed by Kremlin regime, and Lukashenko is like a puppet of Putin's regime. Those two are like Siamese twins, you know, dictatorships.
With that in mind, how to prepare for elections in Belarus next year? Tsikhanouskaya has a plan.
We will use this moment to mobilize society, to show Lukashenko that we are here. Lukashenko is very afraid of people. And even the so-called elections to parliament in February this year, it mostly looked like military operation, but not elections. And of course, till this moment of, you call it elections, but for us it's farce imitation, it's circus, you know, it's ritual, but not elections. We have to be prepared. And our democratic allies also have to be prepared.
Andrzej Halicki calls for stronger political support for the opposition, as there was for Poland's solidarity during the Cold War. We should do more. Sanctions are the first reaction, which of course is both political and economic in nature. It would also be good if there was constant communication between us and today's Belarusian opposition. Just like Poland used to have solidarity as a representation, a true representation of Polish society. It is only a matter of time until Belarus will be democratic and free. A distant dream? Halicki puts it in perspective. My story, I was also a member of the underground, and I did not even dream that I would ever be in the European Parliament. Not to mention that I never thought I would be in politics. And here Andrzej Halicki is now, a ranking member of the European Parliament. That's all for now on this EPP Group podcast. Check out the latest developments on the social networks and at eppgroup.eu. I'm Chris Burns. Thanks for listening.